Well, good morning to you. Lovely to be here with you again, although it's a very wet morning this morning after a lovely day yesterday. But just for any of you that might not know, I'm Margaret and I'm from Histon Baptist Church. And all at Histon send their love to you. It's good to be here with you again this morning. I don't know how much television you've been watching over the weekend, but I got very fed up, I'm afraid, with all the Halloween. Friday night, Saturday night, in the shops, on the television, we've seen a lot of representation of all that's bad and evil and scary and wicked. Praise God that we've come here this morning, continuing in your series on the fruit of the Spirit. And I think it was inspiration that this morning's topic is goodness. Thank goodness for that. On the other hand, I wonder if the children are thinking, boring, fed up with mum telling me to be a good boy, be a good girl, always having to be on my best behaviour, teachers at school, be good, be good. The good news is I am not going to stand up here this morning and tell you to be good, okay? In fact, the very first thing that we're going to do is to look to God and the fact that God is good. Now, we have a song that we sing at Histon, which I believe you don't know so well here, and that song says, God is good all the time. That means he's never naughty. God is never bad. God is never wrong. He is never naughty. Never, never, not ever. I mean, ever. Thank you, Taylor Swift. Now, there is another song that you know here a lot better, I believe, and we're going to stand up now and sing that. God is good, we sing and shout it. Let's stand up and sing this great song together. I'll just turn this one on. Can you hear me all right? Is that okay? Yes? Good, good, yeah. Now, I understand that your minister, Kate, has been going through the fruits of the Spirit. Is that right? The fruit of the Spirit. Has she explained to you the difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit? Has she gone through that? No? You're all looking blankly at me. Just in that gifts are plural, lots of them, and we all have different gifts. Fruit of the Spirit, singular, one gift with lots of different aspects to it. And when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, the Holy Spirit gives the whole fruit of the Spirit, not just one aspect. You don't just have patience. You don't just have love. The Spirit brings all of these things into your life, all tied together with this wonderful thing, goodness, because you'll see as we move forward this morning how that goodness embraces all of the other aspects. So I thought in talking about this, we'd bring some actual fruit to have a look at this morning as an example. So I've got some grapes here, nice bunch of grapes, and you see that it's one bunch, lots of different grapes, just like the one fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, peace, goodness, etc. Beautiful. Who likes grapes? Yeah, yeah. Actually, yours was the first hand up. So would you like to come up here, please, to have a grape? However, if I put that there in the middle, I have got some other ones here as well. Now, would you like one of those or one of those?
Oh, no.
That's what I thought. Why not? Why would you not like one of these?
They say that things like milk, they turn off and they go to another form, like cheese and so on.
Yes.
These are more like grapes that have gone to raisins.
Can I let you into a little secret? I knew a few weeks what I was going to do this morning, a few weeks ago. I've had this bunch of grapes sitting in a warm kitchen for a month, waiting for them to go bad, and they wouldn't go bad. They were such a good bunch of grapes to start with, and you can see these are quite good over here. It's only these that have gone bad, but they're bad.
Some of them are like spiritual grapes,
maybe. But those ones I bought yesterday, so they're beautifully fresh. How do you know that those are good and these are bad?
I don't know if it's the kind of the white stuff on them or just that they're wrinkly.
They're wrinkly, so they look bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But these ones look good, do they?
Yeah. So you're one okay. of those was kind of like little...
Yes, not good at all. Would you like to have one of the good grapes? Have one. Do take one. And go and sit down. Lovely. One more person, please, to come up and have a grape. Yes, come on then, Tegan. However, I have got some more grapes here. Would you like one of these to eat? No. Why not? They look good. They're what?
Red.
They're red? Yes. Well, those are red as well.
Darker.
They're darker. Do you know... You don't like red grapes.
And they're still red.
Yeah. Do you know what's wrong about these ones? Can you see?
Are they poisonous?
No, they're not poisonous. Well, actually, you might be right. They might be poisonous. Would anybody else like to come up and see why you wouldn't like to eat one of these? Yeah, come on then. Up you come. What's the problem with these ones? Golly, they're really good, these grapes. anything else that you can see about them? Have a look at these leaves. Feel the leaves.
They're like stinging
nettles. They're like stinging nettles,
yeah. But
they're fake. Absolutely. Gosh, it took them a long time to see that, didn't it? So they're very good fake ones. yes, you just pulled that one off. Yes, it comes right off because it's fake. Yes, they're artificial grapes, so you wouldn't want to eat one, would you? You really wouldn't want to eat one. So it's not a question of just looking good, because these look very good, and we've proved that because you didn't see straight away that they were fake. It's no good looking good. It's got to be real, hasn't it? Now, these ones, as we've already proved, are real, so if you'd like to have one of those each... And eat it, and take it back down. Right, that's it, lovely. And after the service, I'll put them out with the tea and coffee, and everybody can have one, of the real ones. Okay, so look, what does that tell us about goodness? Let's write it up here. Goodness. It's more than looking good. I'm sure I don't need to tell you that being a good person has got nothing to do with being good-looking. I think we can think of a lot of very famous people who are beautifully good-looking, very attractive, but their lifestyles actually are something quite different. It's not about looking good, just like these grapes. Although these look good, they're no good for the real thing. Grapes are meant to eat, or they're made for drinking. We can juice them, squash them all up and make grape juice, or we can make wine with it and drink the wine. So it's not about looking good. Do you know, when I was about 8, 9, 10, that sort of age, I was very overweight. I got very frizzy hair that stuck out everywhere and was completely uncontrolled, but nothing's changed there. And I had, how many of the older people here can remember back to the 1950s, those little round pink National Health glasses? I was a mess, I really was. And at that age, coming up to sort of 10, 11, it bothered me very much because I didn't look like the other girls. I wasn't as good looking as they were. I wasn't slim and beautiful like they were. I had an autograph book. And my dad wrote a little message in that autograph book. I didn't have any famous signatures, but my dad wrote something in there. And he wrote, "The best beauty foundation is a good character." And I thought, how stuffy. But you know what? As I grew older, I found my dad was actually right, like dads very often are. So then, any idea who made these? It wasn't me. I have got no idea who made them. I bought them online. Who made these? Yeah? God, absolutely. God made the real ones. They're man-made and fake. God made the real ones. We're going to stand up and sing about that now, about all the good things that God has made. Who made the twinkling stars? Now, I think this might be new to some of you. Do any of you know it? Hands up, anybody knows it? Golly, right, we're going to learn a new song. And it's got actions with it, so you'll need to stand up. You'll need your hands free, okay? It's who made the twinkling stars, the twinkling stars, the twinkling stars. Who made the twinkling stars? Our Father God. Who made, I think the second verse is the birds that sing, and that's a very similar one. Birds that sing, birds that sing, the birds that sing. Okay, and then who made the rolling seas, the rolling seas, the rolling seas? Who, yes, who, question mark, made the rolling seas? Our Father God. And then we're going to sing the whole lot in one verse very, very quickly, just for fun. Let's stand up and see how we get on. So now, moving on with this idea of things needing to, it's goodness being a lot more than just looking good. Do sit down. Yeah. And having seen the fake grapes, another little idea to bring to you. We're just coming up to that season of the year when we do something very, very silly. We take a tree that is supposed to be growing outside and we bring it into the house. What a crazy thing to do. And then, to add insult to injury, we put all these pretty things all over it. And then we put lights on it. What am I talking about? What sort of tree? Yes? A what? A Christmas tree. Yes, I think we've got a picture of a Christmas tree. Have a look. There you go. Look, lovely Christmas tree. I love Christmas trees. However silly it is to bring a tree into the house, I love them. I love decorating Christmas trees. I'm the one in our house that does it every year, and I have to have it symmetrical. If there's a red one here, it's got to be a red one there. But they're very pretty. Can we have a close-up of what's on the tree? I think we've got a close-up picture that shows the shiny baubles. No? No? Okay, never mind. I'm sure that you know all about it from the trees in your own home. Oh, there it is. Yes, you can see a close-up of the shiny balls and the pretty lights on it. Now then, if you go out in the forest and see a fir tree, do you see it growing these things on it? No, you don't, do you? They're not real fruit. They're not growing out of the tree. If you look very closely, they're all tied on, aren't they, with cotton. Bits of string and bits of cotton that tie the things to the tree. They're not real fruit. Can we have a look at the next picture, which is an apple tree? There you go. Beautiful apple tree. Now, here we've got real fruit, haven't we? Could we see a close-up of the apples that are growing on the tree? There you go. Lovely, lovely apple. Who likes apples? Yeah, love apples. You can do so many things with them. Apple crumble, apple pie, baked apples, apple sauce. And you can make cider with it as well. I don't know how good that is for you, but can do lots of things with apples. But the thing is that they are real fruit. They grow from the goodness within the tree. The sap rises up, what's called sap is the actual life inside the tree, the goodness inside the tree, rises up, goes out into the branches and makes the branches produce blossom and leaves and then eventually the little apples. And then the apples grow to big apples until they're like this and ready to pick and ready to eat. The apples grow on the branches out of the goodness that's inside the tree. Now if you chop one of those branches off the tree, do you think it will grow apples on it anymore? Won't, will it? The branch has to stay on the tree with the goodness running through it in order for the apples to grow on it. Same thing with growing grapes. Next picture is a vine. Can you see that with the big bunches of red grapes hanging down off the vine? It's a bit like a tree, isn't it? That's a grapevine. And again, we've got a close-up of the grapes. There you are, lovely bunch of purple grapes. All ready to eat. They look really, really good. And it's the same principle. It's the sap, the life-giving force and sap that grows through the vine that actually makes it produce the fruit. Jesus had something to say about that. He said, "I am the true vine and you are the branches." The branches need to stay attached to the vine in order to produce fruit. He said, "You need to stay close to me. You need to let me be living in you and giving you my spirit inside so that you can produce real good fruit. Not artificial fruit, not bad fruit, but good fruit that only comes from the goodness of God that is flowing inside us." Now, do you know, sometimes we can be like Christmas tree Christians. We think that we can be good by doing good things, doing good deeds, if you like. And we think that we can become good by doing good things and by trying hard to be good ourselves. Remember I said to you at the beginning, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you to be good, because it doesn't work. We try to be good so often, but it's a bit like having things that are artificial, that they're tied on, because we can do it for all the wrong reasons. We can be doing good things to impress other people. We might even be trying to impress God by saying, look, aren't I a good person? Look at all these good things that I'm doing. And our motives are wrong, and our hearts are wrong. Sometimes we try to be good because we've been told to. And here we come back to mums and dads, and I have fallen into the same trap with my children. Don't we all do it, mums and dads? We tell our children, if you're a good boy or a good girl, you can have a chocolate. Or you can have your favourite whatever, if you're good. So we're being good because we think we're going to get a reward out of it. Think we're going to get something out of it. And that's our motive for being good. Or as Christians, we can sometimes think that by being good, we can earn our way into heaven. Sorry, we can't do that. None of us can be good enough to earn our way into heaven. We really can't do that. You see, the problem is, what's in our hearts, where that goodness of God should be, so often what's there in our hearts by nature and what we are as human beings is far from good. Now, Jesus had a great discussion one day with the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his time. They were being very, very particular about the law, and the law said that before you eat anything, you must wash your hands. Before you touch a cup or a plate or anything, you must wash your hands. Now, in our day and age, we know there's a very good reason for that. It's a hygiene reason to stop the bugs going into your mouth and all the rest of it. Didn't know that back then. It was a ritualistic thing. It was a law thing that you had to wash your hands before. And the Pharisees noticed that Jesus wasn't doing it. And they really got cross, and they thought that you could be defiled and made a bad person if you put ate food off a plate and you hadn't washed your hands, that it would make you bad inside. Jesus said, that's not the case. It's not what goes into you that defiles you. This is what he said. He called the people to him again and said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a man which by going into him can defile him. That's make him bad. But the things which come out of a man, that's what defile him and make him bad. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about this parable. And he said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a man from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and so passes on? Thus he declared all foods clean. Because the Jews thought you could, there are certain foods that you shouldn't eat. Jesus said you can eat any of it. It's not going to make you bad. Jesus said, what comes out of a man is what defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of a man, come evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a man. What a horrible list. Did you hear that list as I was reading it? Really horrible things. And it's what's inside us. All of us, by nature, we're all capable of these things. I saw a lovely cartoon once. Daddy doing a bit of DIY, two little boys watching him, and he had just hit his thumb very hard with the hammer. And one little boy turned to the other one and said, now there's a word you don't hear every day. It's what's in our hearts that comes out, especially in moments of stress. And those moments of stress show what's really on the inside. And if it's things that are bad, then that's what will come out of our mouths. What is there in the heart. We so desperately need Jesus to come in and to clean it all up. Paul said very much the same thing in his teaching to the Galatians, chapter 6, verse 19. Almost the same list as Jesus. He said, now, the works of the flesh are plain. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Again, what a horrible list of things. Dreadful list of things that we are capable of inside our hearts, all of us. But then he goes on, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit that brings the fruit of all these lovely things into our lives. Did you note the difference between the sound of the words in the horrible list of bad things that we can do and then the lovely words of the fruit of the Spirit? It is so calm and so beautiful and so lovely. That is what the Spirit does when the Spirit comes into our lives, rises in our lives like the sap that rises up in a tree and produces good fruit, good wholesome fruit. And only the Spirit of God can do that. We can't manufacture that ourselves. We can't fake it. That goodness of God is the only thing that makes us good people. It's nothing to do with us at all. It's not our efforts, it's not our ability, it's not our goodness. The goodness that is the fruit of the Spirit is absolutely the goodness of God by His Holy Spirit cleaning us up on the inside. We're going to stand up and sing about that, a lovely song of Marilyn Baker's, and we'll hear Marilyn singing it. Jesus, you are changing me. Let's stand up together and sing this lovely song. let's just add to our board over here one or two things that we've seen about the goodness that we're looking at this morning. It's more than looking good. It has to be real. I think we saw that from the fake grapes just now. It has to grow from inside. And just like the sap rising up in the trees, it grows from the spirit inside. From, there we go, the spirit inside. Now, I wonder if you noticed at the end of that song that we've just sung, Marilyn said, "Jesus, you are changing me as I let you reign supreme within my heart." That's the prayer that she was praying. Jesus, change me. Lord, change me. There was an American lady, Evelyn Christensen. You might have heard of her. You might have read some of her books. But she was a great Christian speaker, and she led a lot of women's conferences and seminars. And she hit on this theme of, Lord, change me. And as she was beginning to develop this idea and develop this thing and really looking into scripture about it, she went to a conference herself where there was another lady speaker. It was a lady that she'd never met before. She didn't know this lady. And as the lady got up to speak, Evelyn noticed what a lovely lady she was, how lovely she looked. She had a radiant smile, beautiful complexion, lovely skin, and Evelyn, being the typical woman that we women are, she thought, oh, golly, lovely skin that she's got. She gave her talk, and during the talk, she happened to mention her age. And there was a gasp around the hall. Evelyn's jaw dropped, and she thought, never, she can't be that old. After the talk, after the seminar, Evelyn went to the speaker, thanked her for her talk, thanked her for everything that she said. And she said, I couldn't help noticing that you mentioned your age, and I just can't believe that you're that old. Your skin is so lovely. You've got such a lovely complexion and a lovely smile. What's your secret? And she was expecting Elizabeth Arden, beauty regime, night and morning, all the rest of it. Not a bit of it. Without hesitation, the lady just smiled and she said, a long time ago, I learned the secret of instant forgiveness. And that was all she said, and turned to the next person to talk. And Evelyn went away and thought about that. She thought that was so profound. If you think about it, instant forgiveness. That means the minute you've messed up and that you know you've done something wrong, you confess it to God and receive his forgiveness straight away. You don't fret about it. You don't beat yourself up. You don't get all stressed out about it. You just say sorry and receive God's forgiveness instantly. When somebody else hurts you and does a real wrong to you, instantly forgive them. Don't harbour bitterness and resentment and anger. You forgive them instantly. Can you just think how that actually affects your face? Because that stress and that fretting and that worrying and that sleepless nights and all the rest of it that goes with it so often is about unforgiveness, not instant forgiveness. And we're right back to what I was saying about my dad's little thing that he put in my autograph book. It's saying the same thing. And Evelyn could see the evidence of it in this lady's life and in her face. It's not easy to do that. It really isn't easy to live with that instant forgiveness. Is it even possible to live like that, to instantly forgive when you've been really, really badly hurt by somebody? I would say that humanly, it's not possible to live like that. It's only possible by the Holy Spirit coming in and changing us on the inside and causing that fruit of the Spirit to grow on the inside, giving us that goodness and that ability to forgive, the ability to receive and to give that forgiveness. Only by his Spirit. Only when we let that real goodness live inside us. When we're prepared to let go of all those nasty things that hurt, all those bad things that we've heard about in the Bible this morning that we need to get rid of. You see, so often our prayer is, Lord, can you just change my husband or my wife or my kids or the boss at work? Change my circumstances. Change this situation that I'm having to deal with. And what we should be praying is, Lord, change me within this marriage, within this family, within this situation, within these circumstances, and make me your person right where I am. That is the thing that transforms our situations, our relationships, transforms us. As we've just sung in that song, Jesus, you are transforming, making me more like you. We sang at the beginning that it's only God that is good all the time. Only God that is able to have that real, full, unconditional, beautiful goodness. But he gives us that goodness. He's ready to give that to us if we're ready to open up to him and ask him to come in and get rid of all those bad things that are in our hearts and bring in all the aspects of the goodness of the fruit of the Spirit, the natural outcome of God's goodness living in us. And then we find that we're doing good deeds and doing good things as a natural outcome of what God is doing on the inside. It's that way round. We don't become good by doing good deeds. We become good by letting the Spirit of God flow through us, and that flows out of us into doing good things for others. We don't do good deeds, as I said earlier on, to earn our way into heaven. There is only one way into heaven, and that is through Jesus. Through the fact that Jesus led a perfectly good, perfectly righteous, perfectly beautiful life. There was no evil in him. There was no bad in him at all. And yet, he went to the cross and he died so that he could give that goodness and that righteousness to us. The hymn writer had it right when he said, he died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Jesus died in order that we should have that forgiveness. And he rose again to give us all his goodness as if we had never sinned. I think that is just so incredible that he gives us his righteousness, his goodness, as if we'd never done anything wrong in our lives at all. That's what justification is all about. Big word, but that's what it means. That's why I said I wasn't going to say at the beginning, I'm going to tell you to be good, because we have to let go and let him be good and live his life through us. Now, if you want that sort of goodness flowing through your life, you want to see that fruit of the Spirit living in your life, all you have to do is to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to give you that strength, his Holy Spirit, flowing through you and bringing the real fruit of the Spirit in your life and living his goodness through you. You can do that quite simply as we sing in a moment our last song, asking him to reign in our lives. Just one more thing about Jesus dying for us to make this possible. We remember that death in our communion service, when we share together around the Lord's table with bread and with wine. With the bread, we remember his broken body, broken for us. With the wine, we remember his blood shed for us. Red wine from the grapes, which is why I chose grapes this morning as our good fruit to show. It's another symbol of that goodness that he brings to us by his Spirit. So if you want to make that your prayer this morning, Lord, change me on the inside. Wipe out all the bad that's in there. Bring your goodness into my life through your Holy Spirit. Then let's stand up and sing our final song over all the earth. Lord, won't you reign in me again, over every thought, over every deed, over every prayer. Reign in me with all your goodness. Let's stand up and sing this song together. Let us go into the world with the goodness of God flowing through us, the unconditional love of Jesus shining in us. and the power of the Holy Spirit driving us in all that we are and all that we do for the glory of God in our world today. Amen.